Hey, we're Agnes and Michael Fritz. We currently live and work in Los Angeles and are the founders of Vivo Con Agua in California. The mission of our foundation is to supply countries like Ethiopia, Nepal and Uganda with clean drinking water. Our aim is to do this by intersecting the clean water mission with the love for art, sports, music and culture. Our podcast focuses on the daily struggles of a social startup, running a business with your significant other, while raising a family and adjusting to life and cultural norms in a new country.
Agnes, you want to have the good news or the bad news?
The bad news.
We don't know when, where, and if it works.
What?
That's the good news. We get an introduction to Vince Carter.
Who is Vince Carter?
He won the NBA Slam Dunk contest and was one of the most celebrated basketball players of all time.
What's the NBA Slam Dunk contest? I have
Seriously?
No idea about sports.
No,
I mean, Viva Con Agua uses the universal languages of music, arts, and sports, but sports is not my thing. No.
You've seen a basketball game before?
Probably.
You know that some people can slam dunk, your husband not?
Yeah, probably.
You know what a slam dunk is?
If you put the ball into the
Really? Like that? If you slam it, bam! You know?
Okay.
And there's a game once a year where the best players of the East and the West play against each other, called the NBA All-Star Game. One of the highlights. And there's also a slam dunk contest. So this is the guy who has the most swag while slam dunking.
So it's about the swag?
Actually, basketball is pretty much about swag.
Yeah, but is it about the swag, how you slam dunk, or is it about how many slam dunks you do in a row?
It's about the swag, if you ask me that way. It's you have one slam dunk, and then you have like a jury which gives you point for the style of the slam dunk.
Okay.
So it's not about how many you can do in a row.
Okay.
So, and you have probably two attempts, and then you get the next one is coming. But maybe this podcast should not be about basketball. Yeah,
but it's interesting to learn something about the universal languages of sports.
So funny. I don't know the English expression, but Kernkompetenzen Komplementärverteilung, which is one of my favorite words in
core competencies.
Yeah, but it's even more than core competences. It's the distribution of core competences between the two of us, which is quite interesting because there are so many things where I have no idea. Same
complementary core competences.
Yeah, exactly. That would be the word.
CCC.
CCC. So, what have you done this week? What happened?
I can't even remember because so many things happened. Basically, I would say we started our upcycling collection project. So we have now two really nice fashion designers with us, and our house turned into a really creative artist atelier. Do you say it like that in English? So everywhere is like denim and colors and different styles of like fabrics, and I also learned that they're usually not all of them are really they do not all of them want to be called fashion designers, because fashion is also a way of old school. So it's fashion is linked to a fast fashion, and so it's better to say clothing designer, for example. So yeah. So we started that, and it was really intense. And then on the same time, we had music projects going on. So and then also some other stuff was happening.
It was so funny when you said about spoke about this studio and the crazy fashion denim design. I was looking behind you where the children of our little one are, like the thing we always put up wherever we go. So it reminded me of how like this house is living, working, environment, which is sometimes crazy. So what for people who have no idea what we're doing here with this artist residency, how would you explain it to them? What's the purpose and why a non-profit, although we on a legal way we are a non-profit, but we are an all-profit from the spiritual philosophical thinking, but why we invite these two fashion or clothing designers to come here to create something with us?
To invite them is also something new, because we haven't worked with fashion designers before, but now we have had the opportunity to work on a upcycling collection with Levi's, because usually in the old school fashion industry, how much 1/3 is of the clothing is thrown away if it's not sold. This applies to all kinds of like brands, and they were giving us a big amount of their stock, which usually would have been thrown away. So we decided that this is a really nice project. First of all, denim and jeans is linked to water because it uses a lot of water. So it's water intensive production wise. And then secondly, we thought it would be a really nice way of upcycling it with inviting creative and sustainable fashion designers who also never worked with jeans before, but had like this crazy ideas about how you could upcycle, how you could sustainably change also the fashion industry. And yeah, there it is. So we invited them, and we also want to link them up here within the fashion market in LA. So it's been now 1 week, and already a lot of things happened. And for them, it was also quite challenging to like upcycle things which are already there. So like a pair of jeans, you know, which is just there from, I don't know what's the, like from the sizing and everything. And they also said it was quite intense to like use what's already there and to do something new, because usually they create something new.
I just checked if it's really recording. Sorry for that interruption. And since we wanted to make everything transparent, so the cooperation with Levi's, it's a sponsorship. We get roughly 30,000 euros or dollars. I don't even know.
I don't know.
It's the currency issue, and from them, and this helps us paying the Airbnb where we're living and working, so the studio, helping to finance the flights and all the costs we have on the material and production side. And you think this could work with like creating an upcycle social fashion brand here in Los Angeles? What's your impression after 1 week? I mean, it's crazy to ask like after 1 week, but what's your feeling?
So first of all, we had the idea 1 year ago that we could do more, because we had this really nice hoodie with What Is Life everywhere and everyone liked it. So we thought, oh, maybe this could be also some way where we could like really do more here in LA. And then for me, it was a nice opportunity to just open this door and look behind the door if there's like new opportunities. And for me, it's really nice, because we also have had contact from a person, Max, who is like really into green fashion showroom, green sustainable trade fairs in Germany. So he's really well connected, and he helped us with a lot of connections here in LA as well. And so it was really nice to see different ateliers and different workspaces, how people upcycle, how they reuse like old clothing and everything. So there's a lot going on here. And I think also Buki and Jule, the two designers, were really inspired. And the first 2 or 3 days we went shopping, like for buying garments and buying, you know, like not fabric, but like some things we need. And also just to get inspired by the city and by what is already happening. And there's a lot of things happening. So for me, it feels like after 1 week that there's a lot of things to do, and I really liked what I saw and how people upcycled, reused, and also revalued old clothing. And that's a really important thing what I learned, that revalue old things which usually would be waste, but if we try to consume less and reuse old things, that's really what I believe in, what we should do.
So rethink, revalue, and reuse, which is at the moment our working title for the subline of the fashion collection.
Yeah. Rethink, reconstruct, and then revalue.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
I mixed it up again. And how would the collection then work? Like, as a social business? It's stupid for me if I ask a question and then I know it already. Yeah. So this is stupid. This is not working like that. I have to make it transparent as well. Like 30% will go to the artist and 70% will go to Viva Con Agua to raise funds for our water project in Ethiopia and Uganda, which is the aim for 2020. You spoke about like the other project as well, like about the music project. What have you done this week on the music project?
So we have one musician here, Malé Levé, Pablo Charlemagne,
from the
Iri Revolte. And he met a couple of musicians here in Dudes and already went into two music studios, or three, I think. Produced two songs and one music video. So it was intense days also with him. Really nice. And as I know him already, and he's also the godfather of Frida, it's really nice how he can connect immediately without having the same language, you know, like he's rapping or toasting, how you say that in the reggae and dancehall world, in German and in French. So but he doesn't need to like talk English. It's more about the flow and the vibe and everything and the melody. And yeah, he produced already two and more songs, and I really liked how it flowed, and he was really inspired, and it was really nice.
For me, it's interesting to see that he was so self-organized and so active by himself, because some of the times you had to take care of the fashion thing, I maybe had to take care of the little one, or I had some meetings, or was it the LAFC or whatever, and he did a lot of stuff by himself. And also the whole cooperation, and I would love to dig into that now, about Skid Row. Not many musicians I know could have done that in that way, because he's firsthand, I think he's an activist and then he's a musician.
Mm.
You would agree on that?
Yeah, sure. And he's, I mean, I think in the last episode we talked about the Skid Row, and this is one of the biggest streets and communities where a lot of people without shelter live. There's also a musician we met, and we wanted to like work on with him on a toilet paper, which was a different thing. And then they met, and then they flowed, and then he said, oh, he raps also. And then they went into the studio, and it flowed. And usually you can't plan that; it just happened, and that's really cool, because sometimes we hope that this will happen, but we don't know that, so we can't plan. So it was really nice. And then also as the other musician, Crucio, who still lives on the street there on Skid Row, is also an activist, and Pablo is an activist, and they both are really into like social topics. So they float, I think, on that activist level, and then secondly on the music level. And it was really nice. So yeah, they went into the studio, recorded the first song. A random singer, also living in the Skid Row, stepped in and recorded a hook immediately, like with a lot of love and passion in it, and then we recorded a music video.
Was he really random? I think there was a connection.
There was a connection, of course.
And we should make it transparent.
But they didn't plan it, you know?
No.
They didn't plan it.
But the connection is the one bought drugs from the other, but...
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think like that. And Crucio is now not on drugs no more and tries to get the other one out of drugs too. So this is the connection. As I understood, Pablo told me. Okrusho told me, yes, we spoke about transparency. My wife is rolling her eyes. Why is he telling that? That's not good. The whole skit, because we were thinking, like, since we don't know how to do a podcast properly, maybe, or in a, we have just started it. You're rolling eyes again.
No.
But we said that we want to come up with an idea, which about how to. Come on, you make it not easy for me today.
I'm not.
Okay, maybe we cut that. Maybe not. We don't know yet. So we agreed on that. And every episode, we will have like one major underlining theme, which is in this episode. Just do it. So no. How would you do it? Can you rephrase it?
I reflected on the macro topics, which are like everywhere and all the time in our working structure, and also within our family life or business life, and we noted down some like topics which are coming back, I would say, every week, and we thought about sharing it with you. So that would be the structure, I would say. And like every week we can maybe talk about one thing which always comes back and which we always use as like some sort of like underlying, not vision, mission, but like working force, you know, like, yeah.
Thanks for rephrasing my thoughts. And I was thinking like Skid Row really works with it, this idea of just do it, because this was our way of doing Skid Row, because, or the whole project about it, because Paul and Crucio were really sensitive about it, I think, for right, because they have done a lot of bad experience. And as I understood it, they were quite happy that we made it happen, that it really worked out, that we produced the song, that we went down again to Skid Row to shoot a proper music video, to do it really professional, to make them like do the song on a professional level as well, and give them like a platform to communicate. And you have been in Skid Row, I haven't been there, but only what people told me about it, it was really like that there was a lot of appreciation by the community for doing the song and being there and giving awareness and appreciation and love to Skid Row. What would you say?
Yeah, and what I still remember from the last week was Crucio saying that for him it's all about opportunities and patience. So it's not about what we do, it's not about giving back and going there and shooting like a professional music video, but it's giving maybe some opportunities to step up and do like a music production with like a German artist, you know. So and then also he's saying that it's not about sustainability all the time and blah blah, so it's more about, for every person, is being about being patient. He just cleaned his nose.
I'm sorry, I'm sick.
He ran away in the middle of me talking and cleaned his nose.
Yeah, I wanted to be polite for our audience to not... Now I'm not polite, I just put in some water because I need to drink a lot of water. Everybody should drink water. We drink tap water here because we got a good filter. Sorry to interrupt you. Where have we been?
That he brought up that the most important thing for him and for every relationship, partnership, whatever, is opportunities and patience. And so the first you need, because and not everyone is taking all the opportunities he's get. Some people think it's like, okay, maybe this is random, overthinking it, not taking the opportunity. And he's just all about taking and seeing opportunities for a big change in lives. And then also to be patient if the opportunity is not coming, or if there's nothing coming, and it's not about just doing it once, but really coming back. So we met him 3 years ago, and I think he was like, okay, maybe these are just random guys coming and then going back, you know? And every year we contacted him, and this year he was, they're coming back and back and back. So they really want to work with us. So for them, it's really real, you know? It's not just, okay, we go there, do like a music production video, whatever, and then we never come back. So I don't know if this makes sense with like opportunities and patience, what I'm saying, but for me, this was a really nice conversation, and it still sticks in my head because I really liked how he explained that every human being should like have these two, not values, but these two ways of like seeing what could happen in your life. I'm not really good in my expression today.
I think we are both really tired, to make it transparent as well, because we had so workload and
no sleep.
But I would say I'm good in opportunities and I'm really bad in being patient. And when it comes to like, I love that expression by him so much because it tells also a lot about Vivo Con Agua, because we are not looking consistently on short-term results. Of course, we want to have an impact, we want to have an output of this artist in residency, of the Vivo Con Agua California program. It's also about the social media, blah, blah, blah. But at the end, nothing of that really matters. The only thing what matters is like on a long term to get as many people the free access to clean water, to raise awareness, to get people active. And these are the main goals. And I think so. Opportunity and patience also works for Vivo Con Agua, and sometimes we could be more patient and could even offer more opportunities.
Yes, and what I noted down for like macro topics for our podcast is for example one note is like activism versus structure. So for me, usually I have this like long-term planning somewhere in my head, you know, so, and I know that there is like the bigger vision and mission of Vivo Con Agua of supporting people with clean drinking water, sanitation, and hygiene. But then on the other side, this gives me a lot of opportunities to have that like big picture, to have that big goal, but then to like really act every day, just do it if, you know, like some things do not work out.
We have a new chair.
And to really be an activist, you know, like to not only stick to the normal rules, but to just do it and have the bigger picture in mind. And I really like that balancing, that balance of like, of working flows and energy. So if you have, if you only have your plans and you have to stick to your plans, there's no like openness for like opportunities which could come up every day, you know? And if you have that free flow thing that we don't have to stick to the normal rules, we don't have to stick to the normal plan, we can be open for that new opportunities and for these new people to meet or new networks or new whatever, you know? So, and I like this balance. And then also it's sometimes better to not overthink it and just do it and to have that bigger goal in mind, but to be able to like say, okay, but now, as I said this week, now I don't focus on the structure of the 501c3 nonprofit founding of organization and long-term planning. This week is all about artists in residency. It's all about fashion designers, and it's all about Male Levy being here and connecting him with like local musicians. And I just skipped all the other things, you know. I put it all on like the to-do list from next week or in 2 weeks, and I just focus on that the whole week.
It's interesting because like and frankly speaking, we are not paid any money by Nike, only because we're using their claim, but the claim works quite good for us because it's like when we started Vivo Con Agua, when we started Gold Eimer, Miller Togelli, now California, or also the whole the chapters of Vivo Con Agua on the African soil. Actually, it works quite good with just do it and don't think so much. And the same is now true for Viva Con Agua Denmark, who just started it. And if you overthink all the possibilities which could go wrong, or there could be dead feedback, or what, we don't have rules yet, we don't have the setup to start something like Viva Con Agua in Denmark now, who is doing it, can we trust this guy, and blah blah blah, you're not doing it. To focus on the things. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I really appreciate all the time you're just doing it energy. Like, because you, since I know you, I really think that this is like a really good activism energy. But I also think it only works, what I said before, if you have like this underlying main goal, main picture, and you already like it's it, you know, like you're feeling it and you know it, you have that bigger picture in mind. And for example, if we work with like new volunteers or new people coming up, what could I do? Sometimes it's really like, and you just reply them and answer them and say like, just do it. And then they're like, yeah, but what and how and blah. And you know, like you can see like all the question marks and in their faces. And we're like, how? And sometimes then people don't do it because they need some sort of like framework, you know?
It's interesting because this energy can only flow, like the activism can only flow if there's structure too. So I could only be that guy because I had in former times like Benjamin as a close aspiring partner. I still have him, but like when we started in Okanagua, he was really taking care about the structure, about finances and all these things. We had Miriam, who was our CEO kind of, we had Doris. You taking care a lot about the structure, although you're also good in the other stuff, but taking care of it because you know otherwise it will fall down backwards. So I can only be that fool if somebody's also taking care of the other roles. And which is interesting because when I reflect on that, I had a lot of times working with people who didn't appreciate the structure because the stereotype of the structure is shit. We have to redefine and re-image and relabel the stereotype of structure, because a lot of people think structure is not good. I love people who say, I love Excelists, I love structuring and stuff like that, because these are the best people for my energy or my potential to work with, because they love actually. Like others say, then, oh, I always have to clean up the mess Michael is producing. I always have to do that, blah, blah, blah. Which is actually structure in a way. But yes, I just came to my mind. So I want to add one more thing about Krushu, because Krushu is now has done the song, and he's now doing the design of the Goldhammer toilet paper, so it can be really interesting. So he's really becoming one of our main guys to work with, and he's like, of course it's something completely different if an artist from Skid Row does the design of a social toilet paper for Skid Row than any agency in the world would do it, or any graphic designer who got a briefing. So it's really grassroots movement, and I'm so happy about it, because I was always scared a little bit about like this superficial world which LA attracts so much. There are so many superstars here, and also the fashion world, it's so sometimes superficial, only sometimes, and it's only maybe a stereotype, but that I'm really happy that we have also this groundwork, basement, real street credibility, whatever you name it, with Krushu and the toilet paper story, that it really, it's not going crazy and nuts and only Hollywood and that, but it's real, it's getting real.
It's real for all the people who live out there without shelter. It's incredible to just be on that street and to imagine what kind of like daily struggles they have. I mean, they, during the music video, I just went away to have like a coffee and to look for a toilet, because of course there's no one out there. And then I came back and then I saw them, the rapping and singing guys, and the filmers, and they opened up this, how do you say that, water hydrant, the red things where water is coming out if there's like a fire, you know? Fireman. And they opened it and then they did something with the water. I was like, what the fuck, you know? Like, why do they do that now? I mean, we can't just like mess up with water out there. And then they said, no, that's what I usually do for like taking a shower, you know? And yeah, I don't know how it will look in the end during in the music video. But for me, it was just weird to like really be there and experience the people and talk with the people and share like some stories and to see the living realities there.
I mean, you've been there, of course, like as a producer and as an activist, but you cannot go somewhere else, somewhere in the world, without being also a mother. Like, you told me the story about like there was this one mother living with four children, is it right? Like, have you seen where she was living?
No.
Oh, did you speak to her?
No.
No. You just saw her?
Yeah. It's not about that. I mean, I see living realities here and then, you know, usually this gives me just a reflection on my privileged life I have. You know, I can't judge on what I see. I can't judge on people's working and living realities. I don't want to do that. I don't want to judge if they're happy or not happy, if they struggle or if they don't struggle. I don't want to compare it, you know. But this gives me just all the time the opportunity to like really reflect my living and working reality. My motherhood, you know, my do you say sorrows, to reflect on my possibilities and on my living and working way. So we have everything, you know, like we can do everything what we want. My daughter is raised up in the best ways, you know, so, and it's just all the time I come to a point where I think, okay, what could I, bless you, what could I do more? What can I do? What's in my, you know, how can I stand up for people which can't stand up on their own, maybe, you know, like, I don't want to also say that because usually, like, usually humans are so strong and can always stand up. No, you go away again and clean your nose.
But it's interesting.
It's just standing up for people who can't stand up, maybe, or just maybe it's good to like give them opportunities or also a voice, you know, like to raise their voices. I don't just want to be like some sort of like transmitter, you know, but I want to use my privilege, you know, and not and to also have, this is my responsibility. If I have the possibility to do something, I see it as one of my responsibilities to not helping each other, but to like just speak up, you know.
To rethink, reconstructure, revalue, maybe. It's interesting because most of the times when it comes to charity work, and it's also about this all profit thing, you should tell everybody really frankly that first of all, the person who profits most from doing something like Viva Con Agua is yourself.
As myself.
So this is us. We are now living in Los Angeles. We have a really interesting, inspirational life. We can work with a lot of crazy, freaky people, and we can give something back, of course, but first of all, we have a real privilege on that. When we spoke about, like, last week about how we're gonna work together, we said that we want to do every day a meeting. Like our... Because you said something about this...
Activism versus structure.
Activism versus structure.
So we had this idea to like structure every day with like a short working meeting with with Clara, who's also living here and working with us and supporting a lot the founding of Viva Con Agua in California. And in the end, we had one meeting in a week because every day was so crazy full with like all these plans. yeah, we did one meeting and the rest of the days we just did it. So we, both of us, like all of us, also Clara including, knew that there is no time to like meet. Every one of us is really busy. We were not there, the three of us, all the time. So yeah.
Like when it comes to like this meeting structures and stuff, can you give the people an idea about how meetings are structured in the Viva Con Agua world, Cosmos?
With the rituals?
Yeah.
I mean, there's many like traditions and rituals, I would say. And one of us for meetings is to start a meeting with a small check-in. So everyone is telling to the group how he or she feels, where he or she comes from, what he or she did the last two or three days, or what's in her feelings. And then we do the meeting. Sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it's really quick. And in the end, we end with insights, which are voluntarily, so you don't have to do it. And there's only one rule. No one has to comment another insight. So you just, end the meeting with maybe an insight of the meeting or just a feeling of what came up during the meeting. And yeah, that's it. But for us, I really like it because we have some sort of like starting and ending of meetings. Yeah. And we did that with a bigger group. So we did it with musicians, Jule, Bookie, the designers, and Clara, and you and me. And then we did a small one in the working meeting, and then we never did one this week again. We should do it soon.
I also like the insights a lot, especially when it comes to project trips, where you have sometimes a deeper meta thinking and understanding, sometimes of the world. I know that it's a judgment, but I really feel it that way. So when we are with Papa Shabani or Francis or Nobi or Ashenafi or Ugandan Ethiopian artists, sometimes you go there and you listen to their insight and you really get goosebumps and think, wow, okay.
This happened for me here as well.
When we had
our meeting, and Clara said something about how she feels here and how she feels the people here and the culture. I mean, we're in a different culture. Sometimes I come here or people think that it's the same culture, but it's not, you know. There's a different historical background and everything, and I feel that every day, you know, like there's different working ethics, different meeting ethics. I mean, today we did the small video and then Chance Kam, who's now doing like some voluntarily some movies for us. And then he's saying like, I didn't answer. Sorry, I didn't answer the email. And you're like, yeah, I mean, here it's normal to not answer for a week or longer, you know?
Or never.
And in Germany it's like, okay, if you don't answer for like 2 days, it's like, why? You know, how can he do that?
How dare he?
So here, different culture, insights can be a really cool tool to like reflect on what's happening on a meta level.
When we come back to opportunity and patience and just do it, I can put together the dots quite interestingly, because last week, by chance, I watched the story of Viva Con Agua and saw, hey, Madeleine, you know, is supporting Viva Con Agua. And I checked her out and she's a female pop musician, artist, author from Berlin, and she's currently in Los Angeles. So I just wrote her a message and said, thank you for supporting Viva Con Agua. And if she got time, let's grab a coffee. So I met her on Thursday, and on Saturday we've been in the booth in the studio with Rocky Dawoodi, who supported us last year, also a Grammy nominated reggae artist,
musician and activist
from from Ghana and the US, and of course Pablo Malelevé, aka Malelf. It was so funny because he told me later that there was this situation when Madeleine went out of the room, and then they just made a complete new song, and it was only an activist song, and it was not that song which came out at the end. And I'm happy that this came out because it combined all worlds, and it's a quite nice song. And I had the feeling that normally these three people, individuals, would have never met, like together in a studio and producing a song. And I'm really happy that this has been done by all of them, and they just did it. And now we negotiating with Niels Kasiske about the video, because he has a really nice idea, but of course he's an artist, so he needs money like every other human being as well. So we're negotiating at the moment with him.
I'm sorry, Niels.
Why? For making it transparent?
Or yeah.
For negotiating. But there comes up a nice music video by Niels Kasiske, I'm sure about that. And a nice song by Madeleine Juno, Rocky Dabuni, and Malenewe. Yeah.
It's gonna be a nice one.
Nice.
I really, when it comes to music productions, I'm really scared when you come up with new ideas. Really scared. Because like he came up with these crazy ideas to just mix people, musicians, different music styles, and I'm like, oh my god, you know? Because I'm such like into music, and sometimes if you just throw people and musicians together, it's just a mess, you know? And if you wanna be respectful to like music, usually it also takes time, and if you just put like a pop, really good pop musician together with like a reggae artist or activist, and then, you know, like a left-wing ska, raga activism artist, this can be also like really challenging and maybe not working out, you know, in the end. So yeah, I'm sometimes really scared when you come up with it, but sometimes it really works, and this time it worked and I really liked it.
I want to quote Karl Lagerfeld, because he said one time, if you wear jogging trousers, you lost the control about your life. And Karl Lagerfeld, I think he was a fashion designer, if I'm right, old school fashion designer, maybe, put it that way. And Malev is always wearing jogging trousers and is together with an amazing fashion designer or clothes designer. Like Pookie. So I really think, Karl Lagerfeld, you have been wrong. Malelf has not lost control of his life. So what else can we speak about before we go on to next week? I think you're just laughing, okay? Maybe what was interesting for me, I dived into a totally new world for Rio Conakma, the gaming industry. I met this guy, he's 15 years old, he donated $125,000, I think I said it before, Mr. Savage, and he also will become a co-founder of Vivo Canara California and will support us into looking into how we can activate the gaming industry, which has, I think, a huge potential because it's really attracting the young people. And so Mr. Savage will become a co-founder and will do a charity stream on the 22nd of March, which is supposedly the World Water Day. And let me look, we got now 43 minutes. We could say something more, but we could also keep it for next week.
There's a lot of things coming up, and I'm really happy to like work on the upcycling fashion or clothing collection, how we now call it. And then
so our tips, recommendations are: just do it, rethink, reconstructure, and revalue.
And have a framework for it.
And have a framework. With a structure and activism.
Oh my god.
Nice week.